really an amazing thing to me. It really is. I've been doing this a long time, pastoring, and it's really amazing to me how God gives me the message. You know, week after week after week. And it's nothing about me. It's all about God. He will encourage me, direct me to a certain passage, or just direct the message in particular. And I know that he has a message for each one of us. The story is told of a little five-year-old boy. He was diligently working on something in the living room floor. He had a huge pad of paper, and he had his 64-pack of Crayola crayons. Remember those huge packs of 64 Crayola crayons? And he had that at his side. So he had a huge pad of paper. He had these 64 crayons, and he seemed so intense that his dad, who was sitting in the recliner next to the little boy, had to ask this question: "What are you working on, son?" The five-year-old boy answered swiftly, "Well, I'm drawing a picture of God." To which the father replied, "Well, no one knows what God looks like." Without batting an eye, the little boy looked around at his dad eye to eye and said, "Well, they will after I get finished." That's a pretty good idea by that little boy. But this, it does bring up a good point, this illustration. We really do not know what God looks like. And he is so far above us as humans, it's really impossible for us to fully comprehend what God is like, right? But it's one of the goals of Christianity. Would you agree that one of the goals of Christianity is to get to know our Heavenly Father as well as we can? To get as far as our brains will allow us and the being that we are as humans, as close as we can get to Him, and as far as we can understand Him. And so today we're going to color in, if you will, the picture of God. Now, we're not really not speaking of His physical appearance, but we're coloring in more and more of what God is really like. And we're really not using Crayola crayons. We're using the Word of God as crayons, if you will, to color in more and more of what our Heavenly Father is really like. Now, I wanted to show you this, being Father's Day. Angela, if you'd pop up, that good-looking fella. That's my dad. Now, the picture's a little bit scrunched, okay? That's my dad, and you may not know a whole lot about my dad. He wasn't very tall, probably weighed at most probably 135 pounds. So you see, not like me. I can tell you I weigh a whole lot more than 135 pounds. But my dad in this picture here, he didn't dress up a whole lot, but he sure looks sharp there. And he's with the Lord now. He did know the Lord as Savior, so he's rejoicing in the streets of glory. But you know, this man, I would say, is probably the smartest man I ever knew. Now, he wasn't book smart because he didn't finish high school. He dropped out of high school, but he did take his GED later. But if you gave him a problem as far as working with his hands to try to figure out, he would ponder on it, he would think about it, and maybe even sleep on it, and he'd get up the next day and he'd figure it out. So you say, that's a pretty good picture. You know, what I want to do today is to draw a picture, if you will, from Psalm 99 about our Heavenly Father. So we can go back to the welcome slide, Angela. Thank you. I appreciate that. Psalm 99, if you have your Bibles with you, it's a wonderful, wonderful psalm that describes our God. Now, I'm not sure if I'll get through all this or not. We may have to unplug and finish next week. I'm not really sure. But again, I believe that when we get together as a church, when we get together around the Word of God, it ought not be wasted time. You know, I really think it's important that we do our best to preach the Word of God and to teach the Word of God here in this church as relevantly as we can. Because this is a very relevant book, the Word of God. It's not something that shoots over our head. Now, there's some things that's kind of hard to understand. But it's such a practical book. If we spend a little bit of time, we can learn so much. And here, we want to use the words from Psalm 99 to, again, paint a better picture of God in our mind and what he's really like. And this psalm, I just think it, when you read this, it's like, wow, what a God we have. You know, I want to say this before we begin, as we start to describe our God, he didn't have to be this way. I mean, God as God could be an evil God, couldn't he? He could treat us like dirt if he wanted to because he's God. But we know the God of the Bible is a loving God. We know that he actually loved us so much, he sent his own son to die upon a cross for us to pay for our sin debt so that we could have eternal life. And as we read this psalm, we even get a better picture of how good our God really is. Now let me read these 9 verses. It says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executeth judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name, they called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." What a wonderful Heavenly Father we have. Each one of these points are under point number 1. Our Heavenly Father is dot, dot, dot. And we're going to fill in those dots, okay? Our Heavenly Father, point number 1, is, first of all, in control. In control. Notice verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigneth." Reigneth. What does that mean? He is in charge. He is in control. You go to verse 4, it says the king's strength, talking about the Heavenly Father that we have, calling him king, talks about his strength. Now you say, what's the big deal about God being in control? Has it ever occurred to you that this world is in a mess? Have you ever, now, I encourage you, I would not watch news 24/7 because it will bring you down most likely, because most of the news we hear is bad news, right? And because God is not a big puppet master up there making everything work out exactly the way he wanted it, he gives us choices, right? And if you remember Adam and Eve in the garden, and don't be too hard on them because we would have been the same way, but they sinned in the garden, and therefore the sin nature was passed upon all of us, right? So because of the sinfulness of this world, and because the Lord has allowed the devil and his demons at least a certain amount of free reign, if you will, to impact this world is really in a mess. So when I watch that news and I'm like, oh my goodness. And some of the things that people are doing in this country, little less in this world. And and it's not like they're ashamed of what they're doing. They're out there flaunting what they're doing. And we're like, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. What's going to become of this old world? Can I tell you that even in the midst of all of this, God is still in control. Now, again, he's given us free reign, and again, the sin nature and the curse of illness and all that is spread because of sin. And so many, you know, a lot of people say, well, why did God do that? And a lot of times the answer is God didn't do that. He might have allowed it, but it's a consequence of the world we live in. But ultimately, I know that when I go to God, He is ultimately in control. So I can put my head on my pillow, and since God is in control, and since I'm a child of God, I can sleep. And I don't have to worry if the roof caves in, or someone nukes our country, sends some nuclear bombs over our way, or whatever. I don't have to sit there and wonder if the economy is going to collapse. I don't have to lay there and worry and fret and fret and fret, because my Heavenly Father reigns. He is in control. So we ought to be able to praise the Lord on this Father's Day and say, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in control. I don't think I'll ever forget this. I may have shared with you before at one point. But at one of the camps, as best I remember, it was a teen camp. And we're approaching camping season between junior camp and teen camp. We have 6 campers going to junior camp so far. And we have at least 1 going to teen camp, maybe more coming. But I remember at one, I believe it was a teen camp that we had. This one boy was mouthing off to Jason a little bit. And, you know, Jason was a camper at that point, and he was mouthing off to Jason that he could beat Jason at arm wrestling. And so he was mouthing off, and Jason, I'm sure, was just like, nah, you know, not, I'm, you know, I'm not. So he goes, and finally this other counselor, it wasn't me, but another counselor said, you know, this guy, I guess he'd heard it, the counselor had heard it just enough. He said, all right, let's settle this. So he set Jason down on one side of the table and put this other guy that was mouthing off on how strong he was and he could beat Jason arm wrestling on the other side of the table, and he had him arm wrestle. And I got to see this as best I remember. And Jason was like, boop. You know, if you looked at that, there was no doubt in your mind who was in control of that arm wrestling contest. It was Jason. Now, that's nothing compared to the way God has this universe under His control. And let me tell you, we have a lot of radical environmentalists, okay? Now, I know that we should take care of our planet. I mean, we should not be very flippant about it. We shouldn't pollute on purpose and all that. They can tell you, one of my pet peeves is to see someone throw trash out or to see trash along the road. I'm like, what's the deal? Why don't you just throw it in a trash can? It's no big deal. Keep it in your car until you get home. And why do that? So I'm not a radical environmentalist, but a lot of the thoughts of the radical environmentalists, we got to make sure that we preserve our planet. Now, again, that's not a bad motive. I think they carry it way too far, and it influences sometimes their whole mission in life. Let me tell you, God is in control, and as long as God wants this to go on, it will go on. And whenever it's time for it to end, guess what? It'll end. And eventually, this old planet's going to melt with a fervent heat, and we're going to get a brand new earth and the heavens above it to enjoy, we that know Jesus as Savior. So our Heavenly Father, as we paint this picture of our Heavenly Father is, point number one, under control. He is in control. Everything is under His control. Let's put it that way. He is fully in control. Secondly, this is really big. He is present. He is present. Our Heavenly Father is present. Do you know, in verse number 1, it says, not only the Lord reigneth, let the people tremble, He sitteth between the cherubims. Now, do you remember the cherubims on the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat in between? And that represented, remember, the presence of God. And that was placed into the Holy of Holies. And that represented the presence of God. Y'all with me on that? And what about... what about in particular where it says in verse 7, it says, He spake unto them into the cloudy pillar. Do you remember what God led the children of Israel with? In the daytime, it was a cloud. That was God's presence. And in the nighttime, it was a fire, right? That was his presence. Now today, as New Testament Christians, you know, Jesus said, what? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, right? And if we know Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But can I tell you that all along, God has been present. He's here. You know, it may seem sometimes like he's far away. And some people actually believe that God kind of, you know, created everything, but then he just kind of left it alone. And he's somewhere in the universe, in his own little world, leaving us alone. I am thankful that my God does not leave me alone. I am thankful that he is present with me every single day. Isn't that good? You know, even in Psalm 23, what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It goes on to say, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? Thou art with me. Right? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Right? Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord? I may have misquoted that. I think that's what it said. Some of y'all was trying to say it with me, and you said it different. So either you're wrong or I'm wrong. I'm not sure which. But that's all right. But I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. I mean, even when it seems like people are being jerks. Now, I said seem like they're being jerks to you, and they don't understand you, and they don't support you, and they don't encourage you. Now, don't pretend like that's not real, because it's real. It's real in a lot of our lives. And maybe not for an extended period, but maybe just for a little bit. It seems like we're misunderstood. I'm thankful that my God is such a present God. My Heavenly Father is such a present God. He's with me all the time. You know, even when you're scared, even when you're upset in the middle of the night, God is right there. There's nothing that God does not know, because he is God. And again, God could have locked himself up in some paradise somewhere and said, I'm not going to worry about them. But as a loving Heavenly Father, he is there for us. He is present for us all of the time. I'm thankful that our God is like that. I may have shared this with you in the past, but I was told this story. I was not around at this point, or if I was, I was too young to understand or to remember it. But I understand that my mom asked my sister back at our home place where we grew up, asked my sister Terry to get something off the back porch, get a broom. So she asked my sister, who was obviously very young, and said, okay, Terry, you go on the back porch and get the broom. It was after dark. My sister hesitated and said that she was scared to go get the broom. And my mom, being the mom that she was and encourager that she was, she said, well, you know that the Lord is always with you. My sister piped up, from the best I understand from this story, well, then let him get the broom. That was pretty good. That was pretty quick thinking. I don't think I'd have thought that quick. But, you know, it is true that whatever scares us in life, the Lord is present with us. You know, some of us are going through things right now that are challenging. And at times we may feel a bit overwhelmed. Or if you're not facing something challenging today, you might tomorrow or even before church is out. You just don't know, right? Isn't it a huge blessing to know that our Heavenly Father is not only in control, but he's also present to go right with me through the troubles that I have. I'm thankful for that. Thirdly, our Heavenly Father is dot, dot, dot. First, he's in control, he's present, and thirdly, our Heavenly Father is great. Great. Notice what it says in verse 2. It simply says, the Lord is great in Zion, a reference to Jerusalem. He is great. Verse 3, it says, let them praise what? Thy great and terrible name. In other words, thy great name. And as we've talked about many times, when it talks about somebody's name, it's really who they are. It's their quality. And it says that our Heavenly Father is indeed great. Now, is that a big deal? That God is great? I mean, how would God be able to do all these things in control and be present if He wasn't a great God? In Sunday school, then at the nursing home later, a similar thought. I had different size boxes. And I said, well, how big is God to you? I had a little matchbox, and I had a little bigger matchbox, and I had some little bit bigger shipping boxes and a little bit bigger, all the way up to a pretty big Sam's box. And I made the point, and I said, how big is your God? How great is your God? Does He fit in that little tiny thing? And the basic point was, He won't fit in any of those. We may want to put Him in those little boxes. Now, I realize that we're spiritual, and I realize we're church. So if the preacher asks you, do you think God can do this? You'd say, absolutely, preacher. You know, you might even get a little fired up. But down deep inside, sometimes there's those little doubts. And you want to say, well, I really don't know. In your brain, you're thinking, I really don't know if God's going to take care of that. I really don't know if He's a big enough God. Can I tell you that our God is a great God? Can I tell you that our God is a big God and our God can do anything? And don't let that scare you when it says He's a great and terrible God. It's not terrible like lousy. It's just kind of emphasizing again that He's big. I mean, he can do anything that He wants to do. How many of you like Kellogg's Frosted Flakes? Remember Tony the Tiger? Now, is he still active in these commercials? I don't know if he still is or not. But remember a great big old Tony the Tractor, Tony the Tiger. He'd get up there, and you know what he'd say? You know, you eat these Kellogg's Frosted Flakes because they're great, right? And that's stuck in our brain. You know what? We need to remember every day of our life, God is great. God is great. He can do anything He wants to do. He's an all-powerful God, and I'm so thankful that He is my Heavenly Father. Aren't you? Aren't you? On this Father's Day, as we look at our perfect Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, first of all, is in control. We don't have to sweat it. God is in control. God never says, oops, what happened? Secondly, our Heavenly Father is present. He's not a distant God that doesn't care, just kind of leaves us alone. He is present all the time with us and indwells His children, actually, through the form of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we looked at today that God is great, great. And lastly, for this morning, we'll continue this later. I'll unplug and we'll do that again, probably next Sunday morning. Do I hear an amen to that? All right. High above man. Our Heavenly Father is high above man. You say, where in the world does it say that? Well, look at verse 2. It says, the Lord is great in Zion, and right there it is, and He is high above all the people. High above all the people. You know, a passage in Isaiah backs this up, the same thought in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Notice what these verses say. We use this a lot when we don't understand God, and it's a wonderful passage to go to when things happen that we don't understand. It says, for my thoughts, talking about God, as he is speaking, my thoughts are not your thoughts, human being, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Notice this, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you know what this passage of Scripture, and do you know what it's saying down there when it says He is high above all the people? It's saying that our Heavenly Father is high above man. You know, I'm glad that God is high above man, aren't you? Because it seems to me that every time man gets his hands into something, it messes up. But God is high above man. Let me tell you something kind of funny. See, I started in petroleum engineering at WVU. So I started out in engineering at WVU. And their engineering building built, I don't know if you recollect anything about this or ever heard anything about this, but the engineering building at WVU, as best I remember, was leaning a little bit because it wasn't designed right. And then I transferred to West Virginia Tech and switched to mechanical engineering, which I graduated with. And the engineering building at Tech, something about the steps, they were formed wrong with the rebar on the wrong side or something. So both engineering buildings, you know, we're supposed to be intelligent engineers and know how to design. There was something wrong with the WVU building, engineering building, and there was something wrong with the West Virginia Tech engineering building. And remember what the guy, the captain of the Titanic, said? He said, "Not even God can sink this ship." How'd that work out for him? Not real well. I'm not making light of that tragedy and that loss of life, but I am reinforcing the fact that God is way above us. And I think he maybe has a sense of humor when it comes to those engineering buildings. It's like, okay, I'm just going to remind you, you think you're smart, but there's going to be mistakes. Because we're human and we make mistakes. God is God, and he doesn't make any mistakes. Are you thankful that God is high above man? You know, sometimes athletes, sometimes people in the academic world think they're really something. Really, they do. And they're not, you know, they think they're really something, but compared to God, they're not. I mean, can you imagine our brain versus God's knowledge? Wow, not even close. You remember that TV show that was on, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? You know, compare our intelligence to God's intelligence, and we're not even close. I can tell you definitively that you are not smarter than God. And everybody here would, again, we're in church and we're being spiritual. You know, everybody in church would say, yeah, absolutely, preacher. God's a lot smarter than I am. Well, then how come you're not turning everything over to him? So if God is so much smarter than we are, how come you're not doing everything according to the Word of God as best you can? You know, how come if God is smaller than all of us, when God called you to do this certain thing, you said no? But you see, God is bigger, better, smarter than any human being that's ever. Now, I agree, there's been some pretty smart people. Albert Einstein, I think, was pretty smart, don't you think? And a lot of these early scientists and all the things they came up with, and a lot of scientists today, God, again, the emphasis on what God gave to them. If they have the intelligence or they have the athletic ability, guess what? They didn't have a whole lot to do with it. They might develop it a little bit more fully, but who gave them that ability in the first place? It was God, who is way above man. I'm thankful for that. I don't want a little tiny wimpy God that I have to say, God, if you're able, God, I wonder if you can handle this. But he is so far above us. When I take a problem to him, he can handle every single one of them. Now, he may not handle them exactly the way I think he should, but that's all right. Again, his ways are high above my ways. His thoughts are way up there, and mine's kind of usually pretty earthly. But I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father, aren't you? Today, we've talked about as we've observed Father's Day, I thought we'd spend some time looking at our Heavenly Father. And I'm not anywhere near finished, but I'm going to unplug there. But we've looked at big point number one. Our Heavenly Father is, first of all, in control. I'm thankful for that. Are you? I hope that today you say, I know Jesus as my Savior. Just take a deep breath. God's in control. Nothing you're going through took Him by surprise. So just relax, would you? In your relationship with the Lord. Second thing we looked at, our Heavenly Father is present. I am so thankful that when other people may not be around, and they may not understand, and they may not be there, I'm thankful that my Heavenly Father is always right there next to me. And as the old poem said, you know, about the footprints in the sand, normally He's carrying us. Normally He's carrying us. I'm thankful that He's present, aren't you? So take encouragement into that, Christian. Thirdly, our God is great. There's nothing that God cannot handle. He is great. He is beyond anything we can even understand in His greatness. So I'm thankful that I can turn my life over to Him on a day-to-day basis. I'm thankful that I can turn my life over to Him, problem to problem to problem to problem. And lastly, we looked at our Heavenly Father is high above man. Man, if I had to count on man to get me through this world, I'd be in a heap of trouble. If I had to count on myself to get me through this life, I'd be in a heap of trouble. So I'd encourage you, Christian, for a child of God, it's really a matter of recognizing how big God is, how wonderful of a God our Heavenly Father really is. So, first of all, if you just feel a heart of gratitude today, as we sing here in just a moment, maybe God is leading you to come to the altar, to get on your knees and humble yourself before God and just praise Him and thank Him for being such a wonderful Heavenly Father. Or perhaps, through all this talking about God, you're recognizing that, you know what? I have more control of the steering wheel of my life than God does because I haven't let Him. Let me tell you, God can steer your bus a whole lot better than you can because He is a wonderful Heavenly Father. So maybe you, as a Christian, need to come forward and say, Lord, I just want to turn the steering wheel of my bus over to You because You can handle it because You're such a wonderful God. Maybe you're here today you're listening in and you've never trusted. If you want a relationship with this wonderful Heavenly Father, the only way to have that personal relationship with Him is through Jesus Christ, His Son. Because He sent His Son to die upon the cross to pay for your sins and resurrected Him back to life. And so if you want to have a personal relationship with this wonderful Heavenly Father, it starts by trusting Jesus as your personal Savior, by believing in what He did and asking the Lord in prayer to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me. I confess Jesus as my Savior. And if you mean that from your heart and from every ounce of your being, you can be saved wherever you might be today. If you're here and you want to be saved, I'll be somewhere down front. You come up and say, preacher, I want to be saved. But aren't you thankful that our Heavenly Father is the way He is? Hopefully we've used some crayons and filled in a little bit more of what God is really like. Again, we didn't use the physical crayons, but we used the Word of God as the crayons to fill in more and more what our Heavenly Father is like. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for being the Heavenly Father that You are. Lord, as we looked at today, we thank You that You're in control. We thank You that You are present. We thank You that You are great. And we thank You, Lord, that You are high above man. Lord, we just praise and worship Your name. Lord, if there's anyone here today that says, you know what, I've not been letting this Heavenly Father take full control of my life, I pray that You'll convict them with Your Holy Spirit and they may come to the altar and turn it all over to You. Lord, for some Christians who today just are so grateful, I pray that they'll come to the altar and just praise You and worship You here at this altar and and thank you for the God that you are. And Lord, lastly, for anyone here that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they'll come forward and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know I'm going to heaven, and I want a personal relationship with that Heavenly Father that you talked about today." We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.